You're listening to the Grow Great Daily Brief number 162 for Friday, March the 1st, 2019. Instant improvements, operational efficiencies. Yeah, we kind of started this theme yesterday with operational efficiencies, and let's continue this, shall we? 2 months down, 10 to go. If you're like me, you feel like 2019 is a rocket ride. I mean, we are going super fast. It's already March the 1st. Speaking of fast, instant is about as fast as you can get. Small business owners lean into their core strength, and that is being nimble. It's why so many giants have been disrupted by little guys who could move blindingly fast compared to the lumbering aircraft carrier speed of some gigantic competitor. But instant? Well, that's way beyond being nimble and highly maneuverable. Seems kind of ridiculous, but it's not. Let me tell you a quick story to prove the point, and then we will review the lessons that we can learn from this. And you'll likely be able to derive some lessons in addition to the ones that I point out. Gibson Brands, Inc. is the world's most iconic guitar brand, and they appointed their new leader, James Curlow. And I'm probably mispronouncing his name. Actually, I think it's probably Curly. It is Curly, I think. C-U-R-L-E-I-G-H, not Curly as in C-U-R-L-Y. He goes by J.C., so we'll call him J.C. Well, J.C. became the president and chief executive officer effective November 1 last year. He joined Gibson from Levi Strauss & Company, where he served as the president of Levi's brand. And at the same time, Gibson also appointed a new chief merchant officer, a new chief financial officer, and a brand new C-level position, chief production officer. Now, it's important to understand some context here behind these massive changes at the top. I'm going to put a link to a Gawker article. It's not terribly long. You can read more about it, and you can do plenty of Googling. But the previous CEO had a terrible reputation. Guitar players worldwide complained of the quality of the instruments. This was a 117-year-old company that had absolutely lost its way. Leadership had let them down, and their customers as well. Enter JC, new ownership, new leadership team, who took over the day the company emerged from bankruptcy. Now, right about now, you're thinking, well, of course things happened quickly. They had to, and you would be right. But just because things need to happen quickly does not mean they do happen quickly. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror at your own company before you start throwing rocks at Gibson. JC immediately began to rally the troops, first by listening. I mean, who better to ask, what's wrong? What needs to be fixed? How do you suggest we fix this than the guy or the gal at the top? That's right. There isn't anybody better to ask those questions. Sadly, too few do. Too few think of it as the noble work that it truly is, to walk the factory floor or whatever floors exist in your company and to engage in real conversations with the folks who do the work. Well, the National Association of Music Merchants, NAM, The NAM show was coming up, man. It was on the calendar, January the 24th, 2019. That's opening day. And the Gibson staffers tell their new CEO, we want to be there, boss. We want to be there. It's not even 90 days away. You kidding me? This brand new leadership team is just walking into the door, and they have got a minefield of quality control issues, brand reputation erosion, all kinds of problems that they have to overcome. JC tells the team, well, prepare a plan for showcasing the new Gibson at NAM. Within 4 days, count them four, the team had improved products. They were ready to showcase these products. They had a full-blown plan that was going to blow the lid off the joint. And now that the show is over, it was a grand success by nearly every account. Yeah, they went to NAM. They did blow the lid off the place. Well, what happened in those 4 days? And what happened in the 12 weeks or so prior to NAM? JC and the team, they worked their tails off. That's what happened. But first, this CEO, this brand new CEO to this organization, asked questions and he listened. And he made three fundamental improvements instantly that set Gibson on course to reclaim prior days of glory. First, the CEO learned that partners, that is the sellers of Gibson guitars, they were discovering quality control snafus, and they were reporting that, you know, when they would closely examine these products, the flaws were obvious. Big question. How are these products leaving your factory in this condition? Why aren't you noticing these problems, these flaws? Turns out they had better lighting than Gibson did. Turns out when the CEO is curious enough to find out, he does find out. Gibson products were being built in a variety of different places, and each factory floor had different lighting. And none of it was apparently good enough to produce the highest quality products. Immediately, new factory lighting, uniform lighting in every location gets installed. Well, I hear you right now. Well, how hard was that? Well, it was so hard that it took the humility and curiosity of a brand new great leader to ask and then listen. That's how hard it was. Next, the CEO discovered that each instrument was being handled about 74 times. That is, there were 74 opportunities for errors, mistakes, flaws to be introduced to each instrument. Why are we handling each instrument so many times? And then, why are we checking quality only at the end of the line? Good question, Chief. And thus began more what-if questions. What if we dramatically reduce the number of touches? And what if we make each person along the way, what if we make them responsible for handing a perfect instrument to the next person? And then what if that person takes responsibility to hand a perfect instrument to the next person? Answer? Well, if you do that, it'll make a quantum leap improvement in quality. And so that's what they did. They cut the number of steps or touches in half. They put accountability in place up and down the line, each person responsible for passing along a perfect instrument. Quality dramatically improved instantly. Third, the CEO figured out that the company needed to wage a war on dust. The fit and finish, it's everything when you're a premier brand. Gibson lost their fit and finish advantage. They had lost it years ago. Time to get it back. The company had a history of building world-class instruments with world-class fit and finish, but that reputation hadn't been in place for years and years and years and years. They simply needed to build the products according to the templates that had been created years ago when the products did have that reputation, and it was earned. Manufacturing handmade instruments produce a lot of crap in the air, and that crap impacts the fit and the finish. And so the CEO led the charge to reduce or eliminate dust in the air so the instruments would emerge at the end of the line in the most pristine finish possible. Well, guess what? It worked. Three big improvements that happened almost immediately because the person at the top, the CEO, started involving the people who do the work. So happens that the people wanted to build great instruments. So happens they knew how. They needed a leader who understood the human potential and who believed in it. And by nearly all accounts, Gibson found a CEO who, quotes, gets it. He gets it. Step one, act fast. Yesterday's over. Gibson entered bankruptcy because the company had $500 million, nearly impossible debt. They had bad products. They had incompetent leadership. They had a reputation that was just continuing to go south more quickly. And when the patient's near death, yeah, you got to act fast. I think we should all accept the challenge to act that way, even if the patient, our company, is not near death. It can serve us well to behave with greater urgency as though our corporate life depended on it, because it may. Step two, do not figure it out by yourself. Leverage the people who know. Be curious. Be humble enough to ask. JC came from Levi's. He did not come from Fender. I constantly push companies to veer outside the norms for key hires. I do not understand why more companies don't do this. I know what you do. You look for people in your space, people in your industry, and I know why you do it. I don't want to train them all the little nuances of our industry. I need somebody who already has a get it factor with the industry. I'm not simply being a contrarian. I'm saying that you need to think differently in order to amplify the curiosity and the humility that can lead to dramatic growth. An experienced guitar maker, CEO, could have come into Gibson thinking, I got all the answers. I got this. No, JC entered knowing that he did not. There are big, big, big advantages to CEO naivete. Be willing to be humble, curious, and naive so that you can solicit the help that you need, and so that you can be willing to ask every stupid question that other people think is stupid, but you don't because you don't know any better. Go to the source. The people who do the work likely have some of the best ideas and solutions. See them as the valuable resource that they are. Ask them questions. Listen to their answers. Understand their answers. Ask them more questions. Collaborate so that together you can come up with better answers than you thought were even possible. Step three, do it. All three of these decisions were implemented quickly. I mean, why not? And don't think that they were simple, easy solutions, but they were all quickly implemented. That's because this CEO was decisive. But another major component was because the people helped provide the solutions. You know what that does? Yeah, that gave them strong ownership in making these things happen. They wanted to do it. These were largely their ideas. The team wanted to show off at NAMM. They arrived first each day. They were the last to go home each night during that week-long show. The can-do spirit has to happen throughout the company. Great leaders know how to make everybody feel like their work matters, and they matter. And they do. It's true. As we end the week, but we begin a new month, I want to leave you with a question to ask about your leadership and your company. Do you get it? Hey, do you enjoy the podcast? Am I providing you any value at all? If you are a small business owner in the United States, then I have a small favor to ask. Go check out thepeeradvantage.com. Thepeeradvantage.com. I'm working to form a small 7-member mastermind group of small business owners from around America to get together regularly online so we can help each other grow our business and our leadership. This is not a networking group. This is not an advice-giving group either, at least not in the way that most groups work, where people tell you what you should do, what you ought to do. Now, this is a group designed to provide you with a safe space where you can speak in confidence and full honesty while we share our experiences and our know-how to help each other. Visit thepeeradvantage.com and you can learn all the details. I would love to speak with you about it. Have a great weekend, and let's make March as strong as, here in Texas, as strong as a stiff March wind. Be well, do good, grow great. The website is growgreat.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. Have a great weekend. I'll see you next week.